Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 40 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to talk a lot of girls soccer today as the two Ankeny teams will be opening their season next week. In a little while, we'll be visiting with Ankeny Centennial coach Chris Allen, who is already a four-time state champion. But right now, we want to bring in our first guest. He is a native of Dublin, Ireland, and he is beginning his first season as the head coach of the Ankeny girls team. He also currently serves as the associate head coach for both the men's and women's soccer programs at William Penn University in Oskaloosa. He is Simon Brown. Simon, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Thanks for the nice introduction. I appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, it's nice to meet you, Simon. That's the first time we've had a chance to get together. And before we talk about your team, you know, let's talk about you a little bit. I mentioned that you're from Ireland. You know, how did you make your way to the United States? Was it the game of soccer that brought you across the pond?
Yeah. So first of all, I'll try to pronounce it as much as possible. The girls are just getting used to me talking, and I try sound as American as I can.
But sure.
I'll do my best. I actually got a scholarship in 2010 to come over and play here. I played at NIAC in Mason City, got 2 years there, went to Ashford for 2 years before it closed. Actually worked for, when I graduated, I worked for Enterprise for a year. So I worked in sales, so I ran my own company there. Enterprise is cool and all. I hated working in the office. The only time I was really happy was coaching soccer. So left that, went back to Hastings to do my master's. So I got my master's in Hastings, Nebraska, and then the opportunity came at William Penn to move back to Iowa. So only ever been in the Midwest, so I love it now. I'm just one of you guys.
Well, that's great. So when you first came over here, you know, was that kind of intimidating, you know, coming across from Ireland?
The first week I was very homesick. I spent a lot of days in bed. There was a couple of other foreign guys on the team, English and Irish guys, and they were just like, listen, what are you doing? You're just in bed all day. Like, I'd go to practice in the morning. We're in 2 days. Practice in the morning, middle of the day, they'd be like, what are you doing? Just get out of bed. And I was like, no, I'm just staying in bed. I was watching like a TV show or whatever. Uh-huh. And then, eventually they just pulled me out of bed and I got a little bit more social and
all right,
I know, well, made it this far.
Well, what kind of a player were you? What position did you play?
I was, so when I played back home, I was a forward. And I wasn't good enough to play forward because I wasn't scoring enough. So the coach put me right mid, and then I wasn't good enough there either, so he put me right back, and then eventually that's where I ended up playing. So I came over here as a right back. So I've been a defender my whole career now.
All right.
Transformed.
Well, did you always know that you wanted to become a coach?
No, not at all. Like I said, when I got my degree in finance from Ashford and wanted to get into business, I actually started in PE teaching. I was like, I'll do that. Kind of changed my mind a little bit, changed my degrees, got a degree in finance and business administration. That's why I went to work in Enterprise in sales afterwards. And I was coaching on the side as well for BSA on Bettendorf. And when I was there, like I said, the only time that I was really happy was when I was coaching. I was like, so this is what I'm going to do. I don't really care about the money anymore. I'll go back to school and just stick out coaching.
So how long have you been at William Penn then?
This is right around 2 years. So yeah, two years ago, I was finishing up my master's 2 years ago, and then the job came open, and they were still in their spring season, but they let me finish my master's and still work with them. So just about 2 years up now.
Okay. Well, I know the college seasons are in the fall, and at that level, you know, you're limited in the amount of contact you can have with the players out of season. So that's obviously how you're able to fit, you know, the high school position into your schedule. Right. You know, so what attracted you to the Ankeny job?
A couple of things. So my friend that, I don't really check jobs boards because I had the William Penn job. My friend coaches at Xavier, and he was on the board. He sees all the time because he gets the notifications of it. He said the Ankeny job is open. Would you be interested in it? I did some research, and I'm actually good friends with Jordan, so I just text Jordan right away. I was like, listen, what's the deal with the job? I'd met Dan beforehand, so I know Dan Barris really well. So I spoke to him, spoke with Jordan. And then just got some information off them and figured it was something that made a lot of sense. I'd coached that age group before, obviously such a high profile job, and with me being an assistant at William Penn, something where I can kind of take my own program and develop myself as a young coach coming through, where I can kind of take something over that's high profile.
Well, you're taking over a program that has a lot of tradition. The school, you know, won multiple state championships under former coach Chris Allen before the split into two high schools. And last year, the Hawkettes had a 19-3 record. They placed second in Class 3A. You know, did that make the transition easier for you, the fact that the program is already in such good shape?
It made a easiest way to answer this. yes, it was easy because the players are good. So it's always good taking over a program where the kids are good. There's a lot of expectations that come with the Ankeny job, and I'm sure you know this, and I'm sure everyone that's going to listen to this will know this, and the girls know it, the teachers know it, their parents know it, everyone in the community knows it. And it's one of the things that coming in, I didn't know. Because I'm just taking a high school job. I heard a little bit angry. I've been at the state tournament the last 2 years because obviously we recruit them. But it's only now that I'm starting to get into it that I'm starting to figure it out. And that's why my assistant, Sarah Brant-Lynn, has helped me a lot because she played at Ankeny and she's like, oh, we never did this in high school, or this is the way it was, or this is the difference. And so she's been a blessing because I've come in with, and I don't know if this is a blessing or a curse, I've just come in with a blank slate. I was like, I don't know much about this community. But it's really exciting to learn a lot about it. You know, it's a massive soccer community, and which is great in Ankeny, Iowa. It's amazing that you have this here, and for high school as well. It's brilliant.
Well, I'm sure you'll learn quickly. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it only took 5 or 6 years after the split for the two schools to meet each other in the championship game. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, you were hired in December, but you couldn't, coach or instruct the girls, until the last couple of weeks. And I know you told me before that your coaching style is very relationship-based. So, how did you get about getting to know the girls?
I had to meet with them a lot, believe it or not. So it was just, we had to have lots of conversations. And then they were really shy at the start. And I couldn't coach at the start. So, like you said, it was trying to figure each other out. So, the first thing we did was set up a meeting with the girls to try and introduce myself, because they were all like, who's this strange guy coming in here with this weird voice that's going to be our coach next year? that's what they were like. So one of the things we set up was a leadership group with a group of seniors and juniors to delegate a lot of responsibilities that I couldn't do. So if any time I couldn't be there throughout the spring, I would set expectations to them, and I would kind of just drop it down to the sophomores and the freshmen and the other people in their class. So I got to meet with those girls, so I'm a little bit closer to them with the others, but I'm making a conscious effort at every practice to speak to some other girls. So it may just be something about, how's your dog? Anything away from soccer, or like, how was your day, or anything like that, just to try and get to know them a little bit better, because there may be only 20 girls on varsity, but there's 60 girls in the program, and every girl is important. So it's the same thing I said to the other coaches, is just make sure you're speaking to the girls so you can, it goes a long way. It did when I was a player. I remember my favorite coach was someone that asked me questions and talked to me away from soccer, nothing to do with soccer. So it's something that I'm trying to be very conscious about and very deliberate.
All right. Well, one of the activities that you told me you had the girls do was a hot yoga session every Thursday at Chris's Hot Yoga, where the staff there would put the girls through some flexibility, mobility, and range of motion exercises that you said would aid in their injury prevention. Is that an activity that you've had, your college girls do as well?
Yes, at Hastings we did it every week at the YMCA. I was recommended actually from one of the parents and one of the kids. They said they did it the year before during season, and I messaged the girls over there at Chris's. They got back right away. They set us up with an 8-week block schedule, and we're going to do it 2 or 3 times during season when we have a break, just for some stuff in there. Yes, I've done it before, and there's a lot of data and research going into yoga, Pilates, with longevity and injury prevention. So the idea behind it is, if the kids are not hurt, we're going to play with our best players all season, which means we have a better chance to win games if our best players are on the pitch. So just trying to be a little bit intentional about that as well. So,
well, now you're just getting into it, but has that been a big adjustment for you to go from coaching, the college girls to the high school girls? I mean, there's got to be a big difference between a 22-year-old college senior and a 15-year-old, high school freshman.
Definitely. I still relate really well to the college girls. I'm 29, so there's still a little bit there that we can cross over. Pushing down towards 15, 16, 17 is where it gets a little bit different. I have a 16-year-old sister back home. Her name is Jill, and she's I speak to her enough that where I can get a little bit out of it, but an Irish girl is very different than a girl in Ankeny, Iowa, believe it or not.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yes, exactly. So I've been able to deal a little bit. We recruit those age girls, and they're, when we work camps, so I work different university camps or whatever, that's exactly what we do. We work with those younger age groups. So that's something that we've worked with before, and I've worked with myself. So it's not that much difference, but when you get to know the kids, it starts to add up. Yeah, definitely.
Well, you mentioned Sarah Brant earlier. I know you've assembled a quality coaching staff to help you out. Can you talk about each of them, and what they've brought to the program?
Yeah, so I'll start with Sarah. Obviously, Sarah played at Ankeny. She was there at the split. I think it was her junior year, mm-hmm. where they won 2A. I'm pretty sure I may have butchered that, but
I'd have to look it up. But yeah.
See, I'm just, this is the stuff I'm trying to learn. So she played there, and she went on to play at UNI. And her and her family are massive in the community of Ankeny, so she knows a lot, which is great for us, because like I said, she gives me information that may not seem like it's important, but it's really important for me to understand the cultural aspect and just the dynamic of the community. Something that I'm trying to learn. So yeah, she's been fantastic with that. She's going to be she's been helping out a bit majority with the forwards, because that was a position that she played. So this whole week we've been working with the defenders and the back line. So if I'm just working with a little group, she's with the bigger group working with the forwards going to goal, so we can kind of go against each other. So the girls have really brought into it. She's a fantastic role model for the girls, because she played here, she went on to play at Division 1, and then she's right in front of them. So it's been really good. Next one is our JV1 coach, Derek Beadle. He actually coaches at Rush as well. He played for Ankeny as well. On the boys' side, he played for Duacs. He's from the community as well. Mm-hmm. He coaches U12, U15 at Rush. He's actually in his senior year at Iowa State, finishing up a kinesiology degree. And the last one is Olivia Drexler. She's a PE teacher at Southview. So she knows a lot of the girls coming through freshmen, so she's going to be our JV2 coach. So she's going to be working with those ninth graders, which is fantastic, because she's going to deal with them on a daily basis. She gets to see them in gym, and then she gets to work with them in those games in JV2. So she'd be fantastic. She's someone in the building, and it'll be an easy transition for her with those kids coming over.
Well, sounds like you have a good mix of people there then.
Yeah, exactly. Young, energetic staff. So that's what we're looking for.
Well, let's talk specifically about the team now. You guys will open the season on Tuesday against Urbandale. You know, do you feel like you're ready to go now, or will it take a few more practices to get you guys?
I don't think I'll ever feel like I'm ready to go. Believe it or not, I don't think, and that's just me as a. If you ask the other three coaches, they'll tell you I'm a worrier. I just overthink everything. So, I don't think I'll ever change, or I'll ever think I'm ready, or I'll ever think we're good enough. Mm-hmm. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I don't know. But it just I've reflected on myself enough to know that that's who I am. And I think the girls are trying to figure it out too.
Sure.
We'll be ready for the game. Tactically, we'll set them up in a specific way for us to be competitive in the game. And then we're just, like I said, we've got everything set up for the Urbandale game. We have play in our Jamborees tomorrow, so we're going to scrimmage against Southeast Polk. So that'll give us a good idea of where we're at. And then the next couple of days over the weekend, Friday and Monday, we'll push together with a plan for Urbandale, and then into next weekend.
All right. Well, when you took the job, you know, I asked you what your preferred style of play was, and you told me, quote, "Everyone wants to play this expansive, pretty style of soccer where you move the ball and create as many chances as possible, but sometimes you have to defend as well and go from there." Now that you've had some time to assess the talent in the program, you know, how would you describe the style of play that, you know, you guys are going to try to implement?
The girls are very offensively minded, and that's due to the great part that the Rush Soccer Club has done. They've done a fantastic job developing the girls, that the group that we have, that we've taken over from 9 to 12. First and foremost, I play defender for the most part. So that's kind of what I focus on, is setting us up defensively, from the back into the midfield, and then the forwards. Just trying to establish a bit of creativity where they can kind of do what they want. So when we don't have the ball, we just need to be set up and be solid and be hard to beat. And then when we have the ball going forward, it's just kind of giving them a little bit of free rein where they can do what they want, especially those front three or front two or whatever way we play. So giving them that creativity and freedom to go score goals and make it beautiful. I'll set up the defensive way, and I'll let the kids do all the beautiful stuff. They're the ones playing the game at the end of the day.
Sure. Well, this is a team with 9 returning starters, including 5 players who have already committed to college programs. You know, have you seen some leaders for the team emerge, you know, during practices? Who would you say are the biggest leaders on the squad?
I'd love to say all of them. The seniors are class. They one of the things we talked about in our leadership group, and like I said, it was one of those things that I was very intentional about, was setting them up so that I'm not always coaching. So, like, for instance, this week we've been working with the defenders and the midfielders. I tried to get the seniors then to start coaching the other girls that are around the forward line. So if they're up top or whatever, the seniors can start to coach, because they've played the game long enough. I know they may be only 17 or 18, but they still know what it should look like, and they can start helping each other out. So that way everyone's constantly getting instruction, and it leads to a little bit of peer leadership as well. So the senior group has been fantastic in that they understand that it's their last year. They know the responsibility that it has. They know that they want to leave a lasting legacy with this program. So the senior group has been fantastic, and then pushing down to a bit of juniors to try and encourage that for next year so that we have a little bit of turnover. So it's not seniors every single year. So reaching down to seniors and juniors. So I'd hate to say someone specific.
Sure.
I haven't named any captains yet.
Sure.
We're still in that trying out phase. I'll let you know by Tuesday.
Okay.
How's that sound?
That's fine.
All right.
Well, you guys do return a pair of experienced goalkeepers in Brenny Frederick and Sydney Truman. And you also have four defenders back, including Chloe Cooker, an Indiana State recruit who earned All-State and All-Tournament honors last season. And you talked about, you know, how you focus on the defense. Well, you got to feel pretty good about the defensive talent you guys have.
Yeah, they're set up pretty well. And we've been working this week. So I've been focusing mainly with those back four. So like Chloe, Sage, Brittany, and Sid down the middle, and then working with Liv, Olivia, and Jalen on the left, and a couple of other girls on the right that we're trying to figure out. So it's exciting for me working with those high caliber players. We've been able to work through a lot of the defensive principles pretty quick because it's stuff that they've learned already through their club. So it's just trying to put my little bit of a philosophy on it, or my style on their defense, the way they're set up defensively. But they've been fantastic. They picked up really quick in the first three sessions we've done this week. They've pushed on pretty well.
Well, then up front, you return Ashley Harrington at a forward position, as well as midfielders Kate Schaefer and Mallory Rowetter. And Harrington last year played second on the team with 17 goals. You know, do you look for her to be an even more dynamic scorer, you know, this season, especially since Alexis Legg graduated? And
yeah,
last year she had 37 goals last year.
I met Alexis over winter break. She came to one of the open gyms, and one of the hardest things to replace in soccer is goals. One of the hardest things to find is goals. So somebody's got to step up because there's a lot of goals to be filled if they even have this similar to season last year without the postseason. They need someone to step up and find goals. So somebody's going to do it. Whether that's Ash, whether that's Mal, whether that's someone else in the group, that's what we're going to figure out, and we'll get there. We'll get there in practice eventually. But somebody's got some big shoes to fill in games, and that's. Alexis definitely set the standard last year, right?
Oh, she did. She had a great year. Now, do you have many girls doubling up and playing some other sports? I know Olivia Shire in the past has ran track. So do you have any girls doing that?
Yeah, Liv's not doing track this year. Mm-hmm. One of the girls that made varsity is a freshman girl named Eden Gibson, and she's actually on varsity track. I think she ran last night as well.
Mm-hmm.
She placed third in the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been speaking with Coach Cotter as well, how to work out some time with her where we're not killing her. She's, like I said, she's a freshman doing two varsity sports. It's going to be taxing on her body. So we've already worked out some schedules for her to have some days off, or if she comes to practice, like today, I just made sure that she got more rest today because, like I said, I don't want to kill her. We want her for the longevity of her season, the longevity of her
sure.
4 years as a Hawkeye, as opposed to me throwing her to the wolves right away.
Oh, sure. Now, I know you told me that the girls are pretty motivated to get back to the state tournament to win the title this time. You said that you had talked, you know, with the girls a lot about the state final loss to Centennial. Yep. So that you could get a feel for the emotions that were attached to that game. You know, so what were your biggest takeaways, you know, from those discussions?
Without sharing too much of the girls, what they said privately, I think a lot of it was more of the social aspect of listen, any other year that you lose in a state final, it's a great year. But if you're second in Ankeny, that's all that matters. That's mm-hmm. what I'm learning. It's really important. Like I said, if they had a loss to any other school in the state, would have been, this is a great year. But they have that rivalry there. I'd be lying if they say they didn't. I'm sure if you speak to Centennial coach, you'll say the exact same thing. If you speak to the Centennial players, they'll say the exact same thing. So the rivalry is obviously there, and that's due in part to the fantastic program that Centennial has and the program that Ankeny has as well, that they get to compete against each other at such a high level. There's so many good kids. I'm sure you wouldn't find many college games that would have the same caliber as a Ankeny Jaguar as a Hawk Jaguar game out there. So it's something that I'm really looking forward to. The emotions of the girls after the game, yeah, I think it speaks for itself.
Sure.
They're hurting, and they've never beaten them.
Well, it's an interesting.
That's the main thing, right? That's what they talk about. They've never beaten them, and it's like one of the first things I said is like, listen, my job as a coach is to make you worry about the other 17 games we have this season, because you're still only going to get 3 points for that the Centennial game. You know, you're only going to get one win if you win it.
Right.
You can go. What if would you rather go 1-16 and beat Centennial and not make the state tournament?
Sure.
Or you know what I mean? So it's just trying to change the mentality, because like what I said when I spoke in an interview, it was like Urbandale, Bettendorf, and PV are first three games. they don't care that we lost that game last year. They're not going to feel sorry for us. And I think that's one of the things that I talked away from the girls is just trying to toughen their skin a little bit and just try to get on with it, because we can't change anything that happened last year. We can only really work on what's happening this year.
Sure. Well, it's such an interesting dynamic when the two schools play each other, because many of these girls have been lifelong friends. You know, they really like each other, but then when they get out there and compete against each other, I know what that was like when I was a kid playing against my friends. You know, you really want to beat your friends. You want to show them who's best, right?
No, so I have one of my best friends, his name is Mark Hiller, and we played in junior college together. We played in Ashford together. We never played against each other, but we always said if we did, like before the game, we wouldn't even talk to each other, wouldn't look at each other. During the game, we'd try to kill each other, but after the games, we'd hug each other. And that's the main thing. So whatever happens, result aside, you're still friends, you're still people. You're gonna respect each other after the game, but during the game, it's all out war. So yeah, that would be my mentality. So
sure. Well, what do you think are going to be the keys for this team, to reach its potential?
It's a good question. I would say the main thing is we need to compete in every single game. Like I said, there's a lot of focus on the state tournament. And this is no dig. It's just that's the questions I ask, because that's what's important. Like if you look on the Iowa High School website, the first big thing is, well, these are the state tournament dates. It's like, well, what about the other 17 games that are there? What about the games that are happening April 5th, April 6th, April 12th? That's my focus right now, and that's the coach's focus right now, is to get the girls to worry about this, because they're all like, oh, county's great in the summer. Like, you get these T-shirts, and I was like, you don't get there without doing the right things now, and you don't win a state championship without doing the right things early, and that's our focus right now, and that's just trying to get them to switch on to that little bit of a process of, let's take it game by game, let's slow it down, let's worry about the team that's ahead of us as opposed to the team that we could face in a state tournament that we may not even get to if we don't do the right thing. So
sure. Well, Simon, I just wanted to hit a couple of other topics with you here before I let you go. You know, do you have any other interests, outside of soccer? What kind of things do you like to do?
That's a good question. Honestly, I'm so flat out with soccer now. So I do William Penn. I do men and women there. Obviously, Ankeny, it's getting the season right now. I do ODP soccer as well. So I do the U12 girls. So I do the 07 East girls. So I do the Bettendorf side. I teach a class at William Penn. So right now I'm all out work, so there's not much time for socializing or doing anything else right now.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah, and honestly I couldn't have it any other way. I don't know what else I do. Obviously I like to watch shows and stuff like that. I read a couple of books. I don't know if that's what you're looking for, if you're trying to get out of it. But yeah, I'm not really sounding like the most interesting person right now. But
well, I did want to ask you, are you much of a music fan? There have been so many great bands that have come out of Ireland, including a couple of my personal favorites. Do you have any favorites, from your homeland?
What's your favorite Irish band?
U2's one of my top two or three. Then from back in the day, my wife and I, we were big fans of the Cranberries.
Awesome. My dad's favorite band is U2. And I watched them last year playing Omaha. They played in May.
Yep, I was there. Yeah.
You were there? Yeah. We're at the same concert.
Yeah.
Sat beside each other.
Probably.
That was you singing.
Yeah. I don't know about that. But.
Yeah, so they're obviously a really good band. I'm actually, my guilty pleasure is boy bands. And there's an Irish boy band called Westlife.
Okay.
And when I'm driving on the road on my own, I put Westlife on and I sing their songs to try and make the road trip go a little quicker. So,
now, are they comparable to anybody from the U.S. or maybe? Not?
But very boy band. Anything like who would I say? I would say they're very comparable to a Backstreet Boys or an NSYNC. And like I said, I'll probably get a bit of stick, or my friends will slag me over that. But
sure. Well, I mentioned that my wife and I were fans of the Cranberries, and we got to see them one time up in Minneapolis at a real intimate show, and that was, probably one of the best concerts I've ever seen. And that was really sad last year when their lead singer died, in that accidental drowning. Was that a big deal back in Ireland? I mean, were they pretty big back there?
Honestly, I don't follow a lot of the pop culture back home. Just when I FaceTime my parents and stuff like that, they kind of... They let me know. They're like, oh, did you hear about this? Did you hear about that? I was like, no, like we have enough going on here with our political climate to hear about anything or any bereavements or stuff like that. So I was like, yeah, I've kind of fallen away from that stuff back home. And my parents are like, what they watch the news at 6 o'clock every day, and they get the updates on all that stuff. So whatever they say, they relay it to me. So I have a group chat with my family, so they let me know.
All right. Well, I know you went back to Dublin over the Christmas break, and you obviously still have some family there. So how often do you go back?
Every Christmas. Yeah. The good thing is back home, you get 2 weeks. Everyone gets 2 weeks off of work for Christmas. So I can go back, and all my friends aren't working. My family isn't working. So I get to chill out at home. I get to be a slob for a while and just work from home. I'm in a good place with the jobs that I do. we're out of season at Christmas and I can do a lot of work, my work online. So when I was back home for Ankeny, I was still able to delegate a lot of the rope. They were in school, so I could, anytime there was an open gym, an assistant went, Jordan, the boys coach, helped out, and then recruiting stuff. So I could recruit the girls that I'm recruiting for William Penn and the boys from William Penn through email, phone calls. Like I'm calling California from Dublin at 9 p.m. Dublin time and it's noon there, so we can still make it work. So every Christmas I get to go home. And every summer I stay here and work, and sometimes my parents come over once or twice. So try to stay in touch as much as possible.
Sure. Well, other than your family, you know, what do you miss most about Ireland? Anything?
The food.
The food?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not a big foodie. It's just when I go back home, I just blow up. I've lost like 12 pounds since Christmas, since I came back. And that's just because when I'm back home, it's just like I have specific meals that I have to eat. My mom tries to fatten me up again. And so she knows what she's doing. So, even the takeaways you have back home, I have to hit everything once. And sometimes it's like 10, the difference is the time difference. So I go back and it's whatever time here it is there. I'm starving at 2 a.m. in the morning. I've already had three meals and I'm definitely going to get that. Whatever I want.
All right, Simon. Well, hey, really enjoyed the conversation. Thanks a lot for coming in tonight.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You bet. All right. You're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time home buyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 for questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest is beginning his sixth season as the head coach of the Ankeny Centennial girls team. He has led the Jaguars to the Class 3A title in two of the last 3 years, and he was named the Des Moines Register's All-Iowa Girls Soccer Coach of the Year in 2018. Before starting Centennial's program in 2014, he guided Ankeny High School to a pair of state titles in 2011 and 2013. He is Chris Allen. Chris, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Doing great. Thanks, Dan. Thanks for having me. Thanks for all the coverage you provide our team and all the teams in Ankeny.
You bet. When I just got done with practice with your team, and I'm not talking about the Centennial squad, you're also coaching your daughter's team, right?
That's right. Just finished up a U5 practice with my daughter and my niece.
Well, it's got to be a big adjustment for you going from high school practice to coaching U5 girls, huh?
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit more drained from this last one than I got out of.
I'll bet. I know how much time and effort you put into coaching, the Jaguars. How are you able to find time, to coach a youth squad as well?
Because I get to dictate the schedule for that, the practice schedule, and they only go once a week. I usually just work it around the high school schedule.
Well, that works out pretty good for you then. Now, let's talk about your Centennial team now. You guys are the defending state champions, and you've been in this position before. When you were at Ankeny, your first team that won it, you made it all the way back to the championship game in 2012 before losing to Cedar Rapids Kennedy. Of course, your team in 2013, you didn't have a chance to defend that title because, then we had the split. Of course, and then your team at Centennial that won it in 2016, the next year you guys got back to the semifinals before you lost. So you know from experience just how difficult it is to defend your title, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, every year brings a different identity to the team, so you're not going out there with the same team, the same group of kids, and all of a sudden you have a huge target on your back.
Well, your team will open the season against Fort Dodge on Tuesday, and I know you guys haven't been practicing, outside for very long because of the weather, but do you feel like, you guys are about as ready as you can be to play a game?
Well, I'd always like to be more ready than we are, but the girls have been working hard. We just finished up tryouts on Tuesday, got together with kind of the named varsity squad and some of the other players that we're still giving some looks to. Tonight for the first time, worked on some defensive organization. We'll start there and build from the back.
Well, the good news is that you've got a very experienced team. You return 11 players who started at some point last year, including Olivia Wee, a defender who was named to the Class 3 All-Tournament team. That has to be helpful to have so many returning players, who have already been through the wars with you.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the great thing about that is, though during the season last year, the adversity of injury and some of the things that we faced, and not even the adversity, but the opportunity to share some athletes with Meg Gray going with track and with soccer, and that caused her to miss some games for us. It pushed us to use a variety of players in a variety of situations, and ultimately that's good for the team and good for those players.
Well, you mentioned Meg, doing both of those sports. Do you have many kids this year, doubling up and doing other sports?
This year we have one in our program doing both track and soccer.
Oh, okay.
And Coach Kruzik does a great job of sitting down with me and kind of looking through the schedule and identifying where where we can share those kids and designating practice times with one sport or the other. And it's a pretty fair split by the time it's all said and done. He's really good at that.
Well, I mentioned that Olivia's back, and you also have Allie Wyckoff back at another defender position in the midfield. You have Lizzie Johnson and Paige Frett, who are also a key part of your defensive unit. Now, last year you guys only allowed 11 goals, you know, all year. So obviously that was, you know, one of the team's strengths, the defense. You know, do you think that that will be the case again this year?
It's definitely a value. I mean, we really do believe in building up our defense and working from there. With those girls coming back, it's going to provide experience. I mean, of course, I think if you're looking at us and you're saying, well, they lost Tori Eubin and lost Olivia Brown, that those are two tough players to lose. I mean, both were All-State 2 years in a row and deservingly so. But I think the kids are ready to pick up the mantle.
We will have a new goalkeeper this season following the graduation of Marissa Naomi Lopez. Now, sophomore Allie Jumper appeared in 6 games, you know, last season, so she does have some experience. You know, do you expect her to be the starter?
You know, that's tough to call right now. Allie's definitely the goalkeeper we've seen before, being a sophomore and working hard behind both Naomi and Marissa throughout the season. We also have a freshman that's joined our program and competed to the point that she was named onto our varsity squad as well in Tegan Hall. And I think they're both really pushing each other. They're also very supportive of each other, which we saw in Naomi and Marissa. Naomi and Marissa knew how to compete, and that's been handed down to these two as well. Allie watches Tegan make a great save, and the first thing she says is, "Great save, Tegan." And that's somebody she's also competing with for minutes on the field.
Well, I know Allie's mom, Laura Ashoff, was a Hall of Fame track athlete in Ankeny High School back in the 1990s because I covered her. You know, what does Allie bring to the position? Does she got some track skills too?
You know, I think her mom had to have a great work ethic. I actually ran down at Draken State in the late 90s as well, and you were always hearing her mom's name over the loudspeaker.
Oh, yeah.
So that's pretty cool. You know, Allie's got that, you know, she's got that athletic background, it comes down to hard work, and Allie's willing to work hard. She's willing to take coaching. She's willing to take constructive criticism and do what you want an athlete to do with that. And I think that's what's going to give her the most promise.
Well, up front, you have several other players with starting experience, including Lexi Gutnecht, who is the team's top returning scorer after racking up 8 goals last season. You know, do you think this team will again rely on, you know, a balanced attack?
I hope so. The attack might look a little bit different than it did in the past. You know, we tried to really exploit wide spaces. I'm sure teams will have caught on to that when they go back and watch some film. I think we have the ability in our squad to develop up the spine a little bit more than we did in the previous season. But when you have two, you know, relentless players like Meg Gray and Kenzie Geiger on the outside, you're gonna use those. Kenzie Langstrat coming in on the outside as well. You know, she was able to spell those two kids, and we didn't really lose pace with any of those three in the attack, and that identity formed, you know, throughout the season, that we were coming at you from wide places. We're either going to generate a ball into the box from there or generate a corner kick, which we were also very successful on last season.
Well, you have 7 returning players who have already committed to play for various colleges, including Wee and Wyckoff, who are both headed to Iowa State. You know, your program is obviously in a place right now, you know, where you have a lot of kids getting recruited. Do you feel like that's, you know, part of your job to get them ready to play at the next level, or is that just kind of a byproduct of the program?
A lot of that development happens in their club. A lot of that recruitment happens in their club experience. So, it's not something we're going to take credit for. What we really try to do is just, you know, make them the best teammates and the best players that we can in our program. We don't want them to go back into whatever sport or whatever club activity that they do, having lost a step. We've always had a high standard, whether it was in the Hawkett program or at Centennial. And once we were able to finally break into state, try to keep that a consistent part of our program.
Well, you also have 2 newcomers who have committed to colleges, you know, that did not play high school soccer last year. They are Elizabeth Overberg, who is headed to Minnesota, and Macy Epp, a Minnesota State recruit. Now, how do you see those two kids, you know, fitting into your lineup?
They're already gelling really well with the team. I know our seniors, we're looking forward to having them join us. They've welcomed them with open arms. Overberg's a competitor. She's got a tank, and she just pushes it in practice. And, you know, there's a little bit of probably – maybe comparatively to Meg Brandt in terms of what we see out of her, and we might see, because of that, might see her in the midfield for us. But she's just a positive kid that she's also relentless, and she plays with a ferocity, which it's nice to have. You know, you got a kind kid who's going to lift you up off the ground, but at the same time, she's not going to take it easy on you, and that's what our kids want in our practice sessions.
And what about Macy Epp? Where does she play?
Macy Epp's super versatile. You know, in open gym, she's jumped into the middle of the field, you know, playing kind of a center mid position. I believe in club, she trains as a right back. She, you know, she's expressed an interest in attacking in those wide spaces since we have those vacancies with Grant Geiger, having moved on to their collegiate programs.
Well, last year, you guys had some tremendous leaders on that team. You already mentioned, you know, Olivia Brown, Tori Ubin, Meg Gray, the Lopez twins, sisters. You know, have you seen some leaders emerge thus far in the practices?
Yeah, you know, before the season starts, and it's a lesson I learned from last year's team, is we try to do a little bit of a leadership book study. I'm really big into our athletes and our coaches pushing themselves and growing in the off season and doing a lot of learning. And I don't make kids do it because I really don't want anybody in the room that doesn't have their heart in it. But we identify a book and that's going to give us the opportunity to kind of nourish our culture and develop leaders in the process and just be transparent about what we want out of the program. And so we'll put that out there, and we've got quite a few kids who just completed that with us. We'd be one of them: Lizzie Johnson, Miranda Wood, Allie Wyckoff, Kenzie Langstrat. I might have said Allie Jumper already, and J.C. Hall were some of the kids that latched onto that and really engaged in some productive conversations. And for anybody that I might have forgotten, forgive me.
Yeah. Well, we can never have too many leaders, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, I know it's early, but what do you think are going to be the keys, you know, for this team to reach its potential?
I think really we've got to shed any ideas of entitlement. You know, we do have players that have experience coming into the program from the previous season and got to lift a trophy. And hopefully that's not something that says I deserve to be here again. I think every team has their eyes on that prize. We also have to make sure that it's not just about that, lifting a trophy at the end of the season. You know, we really want it to be about playing one more day for one another. And the only way you're going to do that is working to be the best possible teammates and players that you can be throughout the season. And if all you focus on is the product, you're going to miss out on a lot of the process that's important.
Sure. Well, last year's state tournament, you guys defeated Waukee in the semifinals to avenge one of your two losses. And then you knocked off your crosstown rival to win the title. You know, do you expect Waukee and Ankeny to be among, you know, the biggest challengers for the crown this season?
They've got to be up there. Of course, Ankeny's loaded with talent, and they've got an experienced coach coming in the program, taking over for Coach Birch, who did great things with the program as well. So there's no reason that they shouldn't be up there. Waukee, I believe they all 11 starters in the semifinal are back, you know, and that was a tough team. And they're well coached, they're smart, they're organized, they handle pressure well, and it's tough to break a team like Waukee.
Well, of course, that battle with the Hawkettes was the first time that the two Ankeny schools had met each other at the state tournament. It probably won't be the last time. You know, when you look back at going through that split back in 2013, you know, did you think at that time that, you know, the two schools could be this competitive, you know, that quickly? Because now you've combined for three titles already since then.
Yeah, I make no claims to prophecy, but after that happened, Lacey Day got a hold of me and she said, do you remember saying that 5 years down the road that these two teams would be competing at state? And to be quite honest, I don't quite remember saying that, but evidently the idea was there somewhere.
Well, it certainly worked out. Well, I know one of your former ranking players, Sarah Brandt, has joined the Hawkettes coaching staff as an assistant. You know, is she looking to follow in your footsteps?
She's probably got far better mentors out there than I was.
Well, you've had some other former players that have got into coaching as well. You know, that has to make you feel good that maybe you've had some sort of an impact on them.
Yeah, you know, the fact that they want to stick with the game and then pass on their passion for the game to other student athletes, other kids, I think that's awesome. You know, we have Maggie Lindemann, formerly Maggie Riley, in our program as our JV2 coach, and she's super invested. Alyssa Williamson had formerly coached in our program, and those are moments of joy and pride for me.
Well, I'm sure some of those girls, you know, have asked you for some advice, you know, before they've gotten into the profession. You know, what do you tell them?
Learn from your mistakes. You know, if I could go back and apologize to the kids that I initially coached, I would. I was very much a survival of the fittest type of coach, and I don't know if that's the approach. I know that's not the approach that I take any longer. It's you know, walk along with the kids and create a vision that they share in, versus force fitting them into the vision. You know, they weren't unhappy times, but they certainly could have been better times had I had more experience.
Well, and at this level, it's really got to be a labor of love, right? Because I know none of you guys coach for the money, right?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's certainly a stressful time of the year, but you know, I enjoy the heck out of it. Now that we have film, it's probably the worst thing that's happened to me because I can't watch enough of our film. I can't watch enough of the other team's films. And sometimes I probably don't need to. It's become a part of my routine. And so the sleep disappears at some point during the season.
I was going to say, you probably don't sleep much at all during the season, do you?
I've heard Coach DeYoung is quite worse, so.
Yeah, I bet, yeah. Well, I wanted to finish up here by giving you a little shout-out. You've been named one of 8 finalists for the National Coach of the Year Award by the National High School Athletic Coaches Association. Now, that award will be presented at the Coaches Association's National Convention in Bismarck, North Dakota on June 26th. Now, it's obviously a great honor to even be one of the finalists for such a prestigious award, you know, but have you thought about what it would be like to actually, you know, win the award?
No, I really haven't given it much thought. It's kind of unbelievable. You know, I feel like it's pretty young in my career, 12 years in. To even be considered for an accolade like that. So I haven't put much thought into an acceptance speech or anything like that. It's an honor to be nominated. And I know that's probably a little bit cliche, but that's truly how I feel about it. But it's really a representation of the great student athletes that I've had an opportunity to work with and the coaches that I've had a chance to work with and who all left some sort of influence on me to hopefully make me a better coach along the way.
Well, it'll certainly be a great award for you. If you do win it, it would be well-deserved. So I hope you win it, Chris.
I appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight, Chris. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right. You've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They are able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at MikeStanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.